Hello, Cubs fans, and welcome to a brand new edition of Cubs on Tap. It's been a hot minute since we've been back. But boys, enough about us. Just quickly, how are you guys doing? I'm Ron Luce, joined by Tyler and Joey. We have a very special guest tonight, in case anybody didn't see on the socials. Justin Steele is with us tonight. We're going to bring him here in just a second. Boys, how are we feeling really quick before we bring in our guest of honor?
I'm good, man. I'm excited. Like I was telling you a while ago, like, Joey, I feel like I haven't seen you in forever. I think the last time I saw you was Chicago. I've missed Joey, man. I've missed you, dude. I've been doing great. But I think just like everybody else in the room, man, I'm excited about tonight. Like you said, we have got a special guest on the show tonight.
Indeed, we do. Joey, how you doing? We were concerned you weren't alive there for a while. The hashtag Where's Joey is still very much in effect here.
Why is this always a thing? It's always a thing. Where's Joey?
You're the one always getting lost.
Tyler, we'll just make a shirt. Where's Joey?
I missed you too, though. Let me just say, I missed both of you boys. I'm glad that I made it. I'm excited, dude. Tyler said it. You said it. I'm excited. We get to talk to Justin Steele. I was like just quickly trying to scramble, like, do I have everything in order here? What's going on? And then my laptop was dead. So, yeah, I'm excited, man, just to say the least. And it's good to see you boys. Good to talk Cubs baseball with you guys again. Finally.
Joey, your laptop being dead for sure is the most Joey thing that could have possibly happened tonight. Just so you know, it's so on brand, and we're so happy that you're committed to your brand, Joey. That's all it is. But
it's not even a bit at this point. It can't be. There's no way. It's just me.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. But boys, let's get into it. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, our guest of honor, Mr. Justin Steele. Justin, how are you, sir? How's everything going out in the beautiful state of Arizona as you rubbed in with us a little bit pre-show?
I'm doing good, gentlemen. How are y'all doing? It's good to see y'all, as always.
Yes, good to see you too, man.
Yeah.
This has been a long time coming. I know I've been bugging you since probably about July getting you back on the show. So
you never bug me.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on with us, man. And hey, I mean, we've got a ton of questions for you tonight. We were able to share those with you ahead of time too, just so you knew where our brains were at.
Absolutely. You know, I got a ton of answers for y'all.
Oh, well, we're ready, and we'll just dive right in here, man. Cause I know, you know, talking to Juice was able to submit some questions too. Unfortunately wasn't able to join us obviously with you here tonight. Actually he's already in our comment section talking about his fear of missing out right now. So that just goes to show how Juice is feeling. But off the bat, really, was, you know, what was one thing that you were kind of focused on improving, you know, coming into this off season? And is it a certain pitch, or is it just, you know, an attribute overall? Like, what was it that you were like, hey, going into this winter, I'm focusing on X?
Here lately, I've been putting a lot of focus and emphasis on my other offerings other than my fastball and my slider. So I've been really honing in on the changeup and two-seam in my bullpens lately, just trying to work on that third, fourth, and fifth offering, you know, to complement the two that I really like throwing. And other than that, it's just, you know, I've been honing in on commanding all my pitches, both sides of the plate, up and down, you know, just being able to command all my pitches when and where I want to at any given time. So there's been a lot of like sequencing in my bullpens, you know, throw a slider here, and then put a four here, put a four there. So that's kind of what I've been working on recently. And like I said, just, you know, implementing the other pitches, you know, to complement the slider and the fastball.
Now, just really quick with those pitches, because, I mean, again, I know there was a lot of talk about you working on that changeup, especially kind of during the season last year. Was that the one that you're really hoping, like, hey, if I can get this honed in, like, that's the compliment offering that you want to the fastball and slider? Or is it just you want all of them to be just as equally strong going in?
I mean, the idea is to have all your pitches be just as good as the other. And that way, you know, in that scenario, the hitter definitely doesn't know what's coming if all your pitches are, you know, grading out as good as the other one. But, the idea with the changeup is I have, you know, really good movement on my four seam going into righties. My slider has really good movement going into righties. So the idea right now is to have something soft and going the other way from the right-handed hitter. My two seam does that, but it's still a little, it's just as firm as my four seam. So it goes the other way, but we're looking for something in that like 82 to like 85 range that, you know, something that really pulls the string on them, gets them out in front, ground balls, double plays, that kind of stuff. And that's kind of like what I would want to use it for.
And just really quick, there's going to be a lot of these follow-up questions because you keep bringing up such good answers. But do you think that some of the off-season additions and moving that has occurred on the roster too, does that play more emphasis into you really wanting to get that change up, obviously? Now that, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Right up the middle behind you now, you've got a trio of gold glove caliber players, you know, mm-hmm. sitting there ready for those change-ups to be dribbled over to – you know, that four hole.
Yeah, I mean, definitely having the gold gloves behind me, you know, that helps out with any pitcher. You know, that gives any pitcher a ton of confidence throwing the ball over the plate, knowing if it does get hit, it does get hit hard. You know, I got the guys behind me, you know, to help me out. But for me, you know, learning that change up, regardless of everything that's going on around me, it's still something I really wanted. Even last year, the previous offseason, I've always wanted to, like, figure out the change up. And like I said, you know, I do so well moving the ball into righties. That's kind of just what I naturally do with my arm path and stuff. So it's kind of tougher for me to, like, get that pronation on the changeup to make it die and go the other way, away from the righty. But it's definitely coming along. It's something I've been working on for a while. And I really like where it's at right now.
Heck yeah, love to hear it. Joe, you want to keep the conversation going here? Get a question for us?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a follow-up, but it was also on our list as well. You know, I know you had mentioned that John Lester had relayed a message to David Ross about, mm-hmm. you know, pounding that fastball low and in, and you really went to that, and you started throwing the slider quite a bit between the two of those pitches. It was like your most heavily used pitches during that span, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, when you start talking about the changeup and the two-seamer that you've been working on really this offseason, I don't know if you're aware of this, Justin, but from the span of, like, I think that post-game when you mentioned that it was, like, June 6th, right after – it was right after that June 5th start. So from June 5th, and I'm not sure if this was, like, actually the turning point, but from June 5th until your last start, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you had the fourth lowest ERA – in baseball among qualified pitchers, and during the season too, just some random stats here. During the season, you had the second highest, or only second to Andrés Munoz, for the most amount of a percentage wise sliders thrown, and while maintaining such a high strikeout rate. So I guess that was going to be my question. Was there going to be, like, in other words, you could still throw a high rate of sliders and you were still maintaining such a high strikeout rate on that pitch on the slider. My question was going to be, like, you know, is there a trying to incorporate, now that you've got the command down from the fastball and the, I guess, mirroring those two pitches together, is that something, the reason why you're kind of like looking for like a third or fourth offering? Because those two pitches seem to really take you off as it is.
Yeah, with great question. With the two pitches, the four seam that, you know, has the natural cut and then the slider off of it, I've really gotten to a point where I can, like, almost manipulate how much it's moving, how much depth it's having. So, like, when I, with what you were asking about, like, how I was able to use it at such a high clip and still get the success, I think it's partly due because I'm able to use it in different fashions. It's still the same pitch, but I'm able to use it in different fashions. You know, if there's a righty up and I'm backdooring it, like, that one's not going to be nearly as sharp as the one I'm throwing to his back foot, because the one I'm throwing to his back foot, I want it to look like a fastball longer and longer, so he sells out on it, and then it darts to his back foot, more movement, later movement. So I think that was kind of the slider question. And as far as the changeup goes, you know, I think it's just really important to have an off-speed pitch that's going the other way, because I throw my sinker still a decent amount still, but it's still like a fastball or whatever. I'm still looking to, like, something that kind of pulls the string on them. And like I said, you know, gets them out in front, gets those, that weak contact, ground balls. You know, there's not much damage that can be done, you know, when you have somebody out on their front foot like that.
Absolutely. And just following up too to Joey's question, because I mean, again, I knew Joey was going to have the stats, and that's what Joey does. That's what Joey does best. But kind of building off that too, right? Because following that June 5th start, again, like Joey said, that's where you really went to cruise control. That's where, you know, you settled in, you started to deal on a regular basis. I remember watching your start against the Brewers in August, you know, from pretty much behind your guys' dugout and just watch you sail through, you know, I think it was 11 strikeouts in 6 innings. Do you think that June 5th start is when everything started to click, or did things start to click a little sooner than that?
Dude, I'm so bad with dates. Like, I couldn't tell you the day I debuted. Like, I can't tell you, like, my first strikeout. Like, I'm so bad with that stuff. Like, I think – In my frame of mind, the way I'm thinking, like, I think it was all coming together the whole entire time. And then it just, there was a point, I don't even know how the season lined up last year, but I would say it was before the All-Star break. I forget like what start it was, but there was like, you know, everything kind of came together. And then I just kind of riding that wave of what I was like, what I was building from that start. And then on, and I think it was even beginning before that, you know, earlier in the season where I was somewhat struggling stuff, I just think, you know, the ball wasn't falling my way, however you want to say it. You know, things just weren't falling into place. And then once things kind of started falling into place, I caught my groove and I rode that wave. You know, I felt like I showed myself and everyone else, you know, what I can do over a certain amount of stretch of time. And, you know, the goal in this offseason and in this, you know, seasons moving forward is to span that over 180 games, you know, playoffs, World Series and all that stuff. You know, just, it's time to take that, what I did over half a season, and stretch it over 162 plus.
Absolutely, man. And Tyler, you want to keep our conversation going?
Justin, we've heard about it for like the past 2 years now, all the rule changes coming, you know, whether it's the larger bases, the pitch clock, the amount of times you can pick off, stuff like that. How do you think these rule changes will affect you in 2023? Like, is there any type of things you're doing differently as far as preparing this spring?
I mean, no, I don't know that my pace of pitches, or I don't even know, pace of play, however you want to call it for a pitcher. I don't think it'll affect me too much. There's definitely scenarios. Maybe it's like fourth, fifth, sixth inning, close ball game. Runners on, you know, in some of them moments, you know, I want to take an extra breath, take extra time to think about what I'm doing, because the pitch matters a little bit more than if, you know, if it was a first inning, nobody on, you know. So in them situations, it's going to be interesting to see, because, like, you know, think of Max Scherzer when he's in the sixth inning, seventh inning, it's a one-run ball game, runner on second and third. And, you know, he wants to take a little bit more time. Like, are we really going to tell him he can't? Like,
it's going to be interesting and maybe even a little entertaining too for some
people. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's still a gentleman's game almost. Like, you know, you want the pitcher, you don't want the pitcher rushing to throw something that he doesn't necessarily want to throw. You don't want the hitter, you know, feeling like he's rushed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. there's a fine line. But, you know, I commend everybody, you know, for trying to find the fine line to make this game as most enjoyable
for sure
to watch as it possibly can be for the fans. So I completely understand everything they're doing.
100%. Joey, you want to deliver that next question?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, the first person that comes to mind is Kenley Jansen with that too, like, taking forever out of the bullpen. I guess the next question here, I got to go down here a minute. I don't even know where I was. Oh, in 2016, the Cubs rotation always talked about internal competition between starters. And this is a question from Juice, by the way. Example, Lester would try to outperform Lackey's last start. You know, Arrieta was in the mix and, you know, obviously going through his great stretch and all those guys, et cetera. Kyle Hendricks, does this current Cubs rotation have that competitive nature among teammates, or are there any like side bets that occur between each other that are starting to add to that clubhouse culture or anything like that?
I wouldn't say anything like that started going on yet, but I definitely could see that happening. I think the rotation we have right now is like uber competitive. I think that's some of the main, like, so I would say that's like the backbone of our team right now. It's just like, we're super competitive. We're, you know, every single game, you know, we're trying to win. We feel like we can be in every single ball game, 1-5 in the rotation, 1-9 in the lineup. Like, that's kind of how we're going about it. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting from everybody. But spring hasn't even started yet, so like, we're still, you know, finding out the mesh of everything and whatnot. But like, at some point, yes, it's going to be like that. Like, we're just going to keep trying to one up each other, and I think that's, you know, that just pushes everybody in the rotation and on the team to be great. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
100%,
of course.
Tyler,
yeah, kind of. I guess it's similar to the rule changes and stuff. Last year they announced everybody's going to get to play everybody this season. Is there a certain stadium, maybe a certain team that you're looking forward to going to and playing? Is there a certain hitter that maybe you've never faced before that maybe you're excited about facing?
I'm excited. I don't know that we go to Fenway this year, but I'm excited to go to Fenway when I do, whatever point. I would say that's like the biggest one I haven't been to yet. I'm really excited to go to London. I've never been outside of the U.S. really. I've been to Canada and the Dominican, but I think going to Europe will be really cool. So I'm really excited about that. I'm trying to think of some other places. I haven't been to Oakland. I haven't been to the Angels. I haven't been – there's not really many left that I haven't been to, I feel like. I haven't been to Toronto. I haven't been to – yeah.
So you've covered a lot.
I've covered a lot. Like, we've played a lot of teams in the past 3 years. I feel like Boston, like, once I check Boston off, that'll be like the last one.
For sure.
Yeah, and is there a guy that's on the bucket list right now, like around the league, that you're just like, I want to punch that guy out on three pitches kind of guy? Or is it just like I'm equal opportunistic and I don't care who we go against?
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm equal across the board. If there was, I don't know that I want to say it because it just adds fuel to their fire. And
is there a guy maybe from the past that's retired, like maybe that you've never played against, maybe somebody from the 90s or something? Is there somebody out there like that you would have liked to face?
Yeah, I would have liked to face Roger Clemens, and I would have been hitting.
Hey, that's right, because you got to hit off Corbin Burns. So
yeah, I would want to hit off of somebody throwing back then.
Dude, Pat and Ron were so excited when you got that hit off Corbin Burns on the radio. So
I was very excited.
Did you like? Did you keep the bat? Like, have you kept the bat? Like,
I got the ball still. That was my first like ball that I got stamped and everything. I was fired up about that one.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That is incredible. And I guess this kind of builds off it. I'm actually stealing. Unfortunately, you weren't a part of the pitchers panel at CubsCon, but Tyler was able to ask a question. So I actually stole this one from Tyler directly to put on our list. But who is the toughest hitter that you've had to face so far in your big league career?
Something or someone that I always refer to when I bring, like, because I get that question a lot just from anybody, family members, cousins, friends, and stuff. I get that question a lot. But somebody I always refer to is Paul Goldschmidt. And it's just because, like, if you get him out one way the first time, that same way is not going to work the next time. So with Paul Goldschmidt, you're constantly having to adjust what you're doing in the game to him in that game. So I feel like if there's a hitter in a lineup that you're having to do that to, that's when they can change the game single-handedly kind of deal. Like, so I feel like him, because there's definitely moments like you just throw something to him, like, and he takes it, but it's the most intimidating take you've ever seen. You're like, God, if I throw that again, it is being launched.
It's funny. Somebody else on the panel said Paul Goldschmidt too.
It was Keegan. Yeah. Keegan said Paulie Goldschmidt as well. So I mean, understandably so, right? He wasn't the MVP for no reason this past season. So yeah, it tends to be that way. Joey, you want to hit us with the next one here?
Yeah, kind of along those lines of CubsCon. I think this was on the panel as well, too. I remember hearing this. If you could trade one of your pitches with someone else's pitch, like a Kyle Hendricks changeup, yeah, for example. Yeah,
that's very easy for me. That's Kyle Hendricks changeup.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
I'd keep everything that I have the way it is, but I would take his changeup, and he can have mine.
have you picked his brain at all of working this in Arizona? Oh, now? Yeah. I know he's been out there a ton.
Yeah, we talk all the time. We're constantly talking, bouncing ideas off one another. He's awesome.
I can imagine, you guys ever like go? I know we talked about golfing at CubsCon.
Yeah,
we've golfed out here.
We went once this offseason.
Awesome. Were you with him when he golfed the 78 that Ian Happ called boring at CubsCon?
I didn't golf with him at CubsCon. I did golf with him that time. It was like right before CubsCon, and he said it was like the first time he had played in 9 months, and he rolled out there and shot it like a 78.
Yeah,
is that what Hap was talking about?
Yeah. Ian was calling him. Really?
Yeah. And I shot like a 86 or something, like 87 maybe. Something like, you know, I respect it, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, very totally respectable.
But he's just like, you know, rolling balls right up to the hole. Nice little one putt, two putt, yeah. getting on the green and regulate, just playing golf, like just doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. So since you were there, I feel like we have to ask now, right? Because there was the speculation of like how his game is, right? Like Ian's like, oh yeah, he probably, you know, hits every fairway, hits every green, two putts for par. Is that literally what he does? Or like, is he, like, okay,
he's just that consistent? He would have shot a 75 or 76. He like tripled the last hole. And it was like something dumb too. Like it was like he shouldn't have tripled it. Like, so he should have like parred the last hole and been at like 75 probably.
That's crazy.
So like, that just sounds like typical Kyle Hendricks. That just
he was so nonchalant about it too. It's like
I can see that. Yeah. I can see me having my worst day of golf, and here's Kyle just making it look easy, and here you are, me that just shooting it all over the place, getting mad. And he's just, that is easy.
It's very similar to how he pitches. He just goes out there and gets it done. Like it's nothing fancy. He just goes out there and gets the job done.
I was gonna say, I wonder if that triple at the end of the game was just him being like, "All right, I'm done being out in the summer heat right now. Like, let's just get out of here."
He probably just felt bad and was like, "All right, I don't want to beat everybody by more than 10 strokes. Let me get 78."
That's a
good one.
That strikes me as like the perfect fundamental guy for like every sport. Like perfect fundamentals probably for everything.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, so jealous, Tyler. You want to hit us with our next?
Yeah. So like. On the road, you get not counting the Cubs clubhouse. So far in your career, who has the coolest, like nicest visitors clubhouse? Like who has like the best spread? Maybe like the food spread. And just the
Philadelphia has somebody in their locker room cooking Philly cheesesteaks. They're known around the league. Like people that go there, people from Philly, they say that's the best Philly cheesesteak in Philly. Like it's the real deal.
You just highlight it on the schedule.
And yeah, so there's like a competition too. Like strength coaches around the league, like we'll try and see how many they can eat. And there's like a record that's like noted and written down or something. And like everybody knows it. Like it was like a 4-game stand and somebody housed like 7 a day or something.
Holy crap.
But yeah, like everybody knows how good their Philly cheesesteaks are. San Diego has really good tacos. Their locker room had a really good taco guy in there. As far as locker rooms go, locker rooms are tough because, I mean, they're all nice. You know, it's just I don't know. Locker room is tough. I would say I enjoy going to Miami because I really like the hotel they put us up in. It's on the beach. And it's almost like a vacation. So it's like a vacation in the middle of the season.
Awesome.
Yeah, the clubhouse is tough. They're all nice.
Yeah.
Do you think that's like an advantage or a disadvantage for the home team when their like visitors clubhouse is like so nice? Is it like it's going to get you overly relaxed, or is it like it's like, okay, we're giving them a little competitive advantage here, like they're feeling good, they're going to go out there and play good? Like,
I think players look at it as who said that? Mark Cuban, he owns the Mavericks. He said this. He was like, I have the visitors' locker room just as nice as the home's locker room because I want people to come here and enjoy playing here. So when they hit free agency, they'll want to come play here. I really like that. I think players also think that way. So, like, if we go somewhere and say we have a not great experience in the clubhouse or, like, something's not the way it's supposed to be, I think that kind of, like, rubs off. Like kind of seems like it seeps down from like the organization. So like, I think if you associate something with an organization like that, it makes you not want to play there. So I think teams do that, like have nice clubhouses, so people want to play there once free agency rolls around. Oh, stuff.
That's what's up. That's intriguing to know, man. I'm intrigued now about the whole Philly cheesesteak thing.
Yeah.
Me too.
Oh dude, they're unbelievable. I have like one a day.
That's amazing.
I want
a shot at this this record though of these strength coaches.
Dude, it's something ridiculous. It's like 27 in 4 days or like 7 a day. It's something absurd. And they're like a big it's like a normal Philly cheesesteak.
That's awesome.
Cool. Is he housing them like the Nathan's hot dog challenge, or like is it?
No. It's like, I mean, you're there all day for the game. Hmm. So like if we have a 7 o'clock game, we're probably getting in the field around 2 o'clock. So, like, he's just getting there and, like, just, you know, he'll order one, he'll eat it, same thing. Like, you just kind of go about it throughout the day. There's no way you could treat it like the hot dog thing because you would fill up way too quick.
Oh, yeah. I was just say I want a shot at it just because I am the reigning hot dog eating champion here at OnTap Sportsnet. I've been challenged and have yet to be defeated. So, you know, we gotta add another notch in the belt. And I love Philly cheesesteaks. So
if y'all are ever in Philly while we're playing there, I will get one from the locker room, bring it out, and hand it to y'all.
Nice. We'll get dugout seats. We'll just get dugout seats and wave down like, hey, it's Philly cheesesteak.
Not me immediately pulling doing? Up the schedule. When are they in Philly?
We won't bring a glove to catch like a foul ball. We'll bring it to catch the cheesesteak.
The cheesesteak. I'll have it wrapped up in aluminum foil so everything stays inside.
There you go.
You're a legend. You're an absolute legend. Yeah, and our buddy Mike Dubs here in the comments. He wants to. Does that go for the chat as well? Everybody else is also intrigued. And our boy Jake Bouge is. Yeah, he'd be going to Philly just for that. I'm right there with him. I might be finding when you guys are in Philly and making an excuse to be out in Philadelphia that week, so we can experience the cheesecakes here, or the cheesesteaks here. Pardon me. Cheesecake sounds good too, though. But while we're on the topic of game day and things like that, is there a weird like ritual or oddity that you have to do the day you pitch?
I don't really do anything. I mean, for me, I literally try to treat it as the most normal day, and then I just try to just go out there and just like play baseball. The days I pitch, like I don't listen to music. I'm like walking around the clubhouse. I'm talking to people. And like, if I'm listening to something, it's usually like a podcast or something because I'm just like interested in what's going on in football, baseball, or whatever.
Sure.
But yeah, I try to treat it like a normal day. I try to talk to everybody. And then I just try to treat it like a normal day and just, you know, as if I'm just going to the office, getting my work done and playing baseball. You know, that's kind of how I like to treat it. I don't like to add any more pressure than that's already there. And it's definitely something that's been like adopted. Like I haven't always been that way. Like when I was in high school and coming up through pro ball, like, you know, I'm sitting in my locker with headphones in, like listening to music and, you know, trying to get going and stuff. But now just like with where I'm at and stuff, I like to just like treat it like a normal day.
I'm always intrigued by that. Cause like I was a collegiate athlete. Joey, I know you played. Tyler, you played too. Like, I was a big, like, getting ready for practice or for a game. I was a big, like, left then right guy. So it was always like left knee brace, right knee brace, because I was an offensive lineman. So it was left knee brace, right knee brace, left sock, right sock, left spike, right spike. You know what I mean? Like it was, again,
creatures of habit.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. So for sure. And this is actually, speaking of rituals here, Jake dropping this in the comments, almost perfect timing. So speaking of rituals, what's your warm-up walkout song? Is it something you've changed year to year, or do you stick Tired and True like Hendrix and Sweet Emotion?
Last year, my walk-up song was I think it's called God's Gonna Cut You Down, Johnny Cash.
Yep.
I really liked it. I felt like it got me in my zone. The year before was Gary Trent Jr., the Come Together remix. Gary Trent Jr. and something Clark, Ryan Clark, something like that.
Okay.
That was my walk-up song the year before that. I'm not really, like I said, I'm not too big on like getting pumped up anymore and stuff. So the God's Gonna Cut You Down, I'll probably roll that one back out there again. Oh, yeah. I really liked it.
Good one.
It treated you pretty well, so I like that decision.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Tyler, you want to take it?
Yeah, serious question time now, because I know you are big into this.
Mm-hmm.
What video games are we playing right now?
I've been playing Rocket League with my boys back home. Been playing PGA Golf. I've been playing NBA 2K. When MLB The Show, I always end up downloading MLB The Show and playing MLB The Show a little bit. I play a lot. I play a whole big variety of video games. I like to think that I'm like play decently well at all of them. The main big one right now, I'd say here recently, has probably been NBA 2K. I've been on that grind.
Yeah, I hear it's gotten like a lot more difficult than the last few years.
Yeah,
as far as like shooting and stuff.
2K is extremely hard. Like it, you can get on and have the time of your life, or you can get on and like want to punt your monitor.
Oh yeah, I've heard the stories from other guys at work where like they would play the year before, and now something about this year, like I can hear them like we'll play every now and then, and they tell me all the time, I broke a controller last night or whatever, and you're like, and I'm like, oh, 2K, yeah,
2K can, it's a different level of angry that it can make you. It's not like that with other video games. It's just 2K for me. Like Rocket League really doesn't get me that mad. But 2K, it's just like sometimes it's just your player just doesn't do what you're telling him to do, it seems like.
Gotcha.
Kind of to that note, what was it like when you found out that you'd be in MLB The Show? Like, what was your emotion like, or what were you feeling like?
I think the first one I was in was like 2018 or 19, because they had the 40-man roster guys on there. So that was like the first time I kind of experienced it, and it was really cool and stuff. This past MLB The Show was really cool because I got my own 99 card and I was able to play with it against other people. And the live series card they had of me was like a 70, it was like a 70 overall or something. So it was cool, like playing my season actually, and then going to the game, and like, I would like go home and like check my rating because I'm like wanting it to go up so I can use it.
It trust me, it needs to go up. Like, yeah, totally.
But because I wanted to use him and like level him up and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I remember that being cool.
I remember watching a game. Watching last year, you pitched a game. I think it was in San Francisco, and then later that night you were doing a stream and you were playing MLB The Show. I forget who you were playing with, somebody that does the streaming stuff, but that's cool. He played and now he's pitching as himself.
It's probably Tupac Thuglord. He's on Twitch.
Hmm. So like when you play, like you're talking about playing the show, like when you play, like do you play like a franchise with the Cubs? Do you play with yourself? Like do you make yourself like a two-way player? And like,
it's usually,
obviously, you've got a hit, so like, do you bump up the hitting stats, and like, you do both ways?
I usually do the Diamond Dynasty, and then I'm able to use my 99 overall card in that. Oh, yeah. And then
that's the most addicting thing on there.
Yeah, and what you end up doing is you're like last year, you was able to play with like us four could have been in the same game, and we would like rotate pitching innings and rotate in the lineup. So that was definitely the coolest thing to play on there.
Gotcha. So like you're talking about like streaming and stuff, is that something like you think you might do more this year? Like maybe something like you do like road trips or something or anything like that?
I would love to like have like a streaming thing that I do in the off season, because I definitely have a lot more free time in the off season. During the season, it's hard with traveling, practice, family and stuff. But during the off season, it's something I really would be interested in doing, just because like I play the video games anyway. So you might as well, like, why not stream it and let people watch, and you know, all you're going to do is build a brand. That's the only thing that could happen from it. So it's definitely something I've thought about, but it's hard to like get all those moving pieces in one spot and like get that up and running off the ground while you're balancing baseball, family, golf, just everything else you're trying to do as well.
Yeah,
totally get that. And really quick, we actually have got a couple of comments here from the comment section that are right along those lines in terms of the video games here. Jake Bouge asks, what's one legend you want to see added to the show?
Barry Bonds.
Yes.
I think we're all on the same page with that one. All on the same page. And then another one.
Back.
This is actually from we call him the GOAT of video. Justin, if you're around tomorrow, we're debuting our CubsCon video, and Mr. Brian Lefevre here put it together for us. But he wants to know, have you used MLB The Show to prep for an opponent before?
No, I've played MLB The Show like if I have a night game, like I'll play MLB The Show like before I go to the field and play. Like, but I've never done it to like actively prep for a team.
Okay.
What happens if you lose against the opponent that you're playing the next day? Do you run it back? Do you play another game?
No. If I'm playing a game with Diamond Dynasty versus computer, I'm usually not losing. If I'm losing, it's because I'm playing somebody and that's like World Series rank or something.
Hmm.
Damn.
I had a pretty good record in Diamond Dynasty from what I remember. I didn't have many losses.
I feel like you and Tyler and Brian are going to all have to talk, because they were – you should have seen our Slack channel earlier, Justin. It was all Diamond Dynasty talk all day today with all the guys.
We've been throwing out ideas like tournaments and stuff, maybe like a battle royale, stuff like that. We're just all excited about it now.
Dude, it's fun. It's addicting.
It is. It so is. Like, I'll play it year round, and just that's all I play.
2K, NBA 2K has it. It's called My Team. Same thing. It's addicting as hell.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just get invested in it. Like, you're invested in your team.
And there's people out there that literally invest money into it too.
Uh huh.
It's crazy.
That's why it's a good
business. It is. It's just addicting. Game, you know? Yeah.
Really quick too, while we're on that topic, still, Mike Dubs wants to know, what do you think your overall ratings are going to be this year in the show 23 to start?
I don't remember exactly what it was last year. I want to say it was.
So
like
he said you were a 72 last year. Yeah,
72.
Wow, they did you dirty last year. What's up with that?
I'm gonna say 79. I'm gonna guess 79.
That's very modest.
I think that I just think that's what they're going to put me as. Like,
that's fair.
For maybe for them, but it'll be a diamond. It'll be a diamond this year.
I mean, that's what I want. I want it to be. I want to use it. It's happening. I want to use it.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We got to get you there, Joe. You want to take our next question here?
Yeah, we kind of talked about like superstitions and stuff like that, and like, is there a certain meal the night before or day of pitching that you prefer or like that you have?
No, I don't like to eat a whole lot the day I pitch. I keep it light, you know, like a shake or something light on the stomach. I don't want my stomach feeling weird or anything. But like, as soon as my start's over, like I pig out, like pizza, wings, nice. Few beers, like, you know, I'm letting it all hang out after my start's over.
Nice.
Love that. I was gonna say, you sound like us when we're usually watching your starts. It's the beer, the pizza, and the wings.
I'm trying to pitch good so I can join y'all. You know what I mean?
You'd be a perfect you need to like join us for Cubs on Tap after dark after one of your starts. Like
that would be unreal.
A meal with Justin Steele. Wings and pizza. Crushing it.
I like that idea. Hilarious.
Oh, that's too funny, man. And you know, what kind of, you know, along the lines, I mean, obviously you'll be back here in Chicago. I mean, it's crazy to think we're like 90 days away, if that right now, from opening day. But what is your favorite thing to do in the city of Chicago during the season? Because obviously, right, you're balancing playing games during the day and things like that.
For me and Libby, when we have an off day, we like to get a reservation somewhere, go like treat ourselves to a nice dinner, try and like slow down. Because the season's like, there's games every day. It's really fast. It's go, 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 nonstop. And not for just me, but for Libby and Bo as well. So, like, when we have an off day, we like to, like, pick a restaurant out that's, like, along the river, go have a nice dinner, maybe take a boat ride or something. Just something to, like, slow down. I would say that's what Libby and I enjoy most doing in Chicago on our spare time is – you know, just finding something to slow down with, you know, get away from the hustle and bustle of everything.
Yeah, we definitely all need that. You know, you got to get away, especially with what you do. Like, that's an awesome, I mean, great choice on your part just to do that. Like, now, speaking of, like, Tyler talked to you a little bit about, like, what Bama would have done if they would have been in the national championship. Mm-hmm. I know when you guys met. Super Bowl pick, Justin, who you got? Eagles, Chiefs. And then I also want a waste management pick if you got one too. I know you're big into waste management. Yeah, just to win.
Just to win. I think Eagles will win. I think it's a scenario where I'm gonna say it's either 24-20 or 27-23. I think it's a scenario where Mahomes is trying to drive to win it, but a field goal won't tie it or win it, so they have to try and score. And I think the Eagles defense is like able to like either intercept it, or I think it's going to come down to that. It's going to be because the Chiefs need a touchdown and a field goal won't get it, so they need a touchdown. I don't think they're going to be able to get it. I see that late in the game happening.
And if it does, we're going to be coming to you for all of our gambling advice next season, Justin, because right. You clearly have a sixth sense that I don't have when it comes to football betting that I would desperately need. Well, yeah. Justin, those are all of our questions, but we have been getting some questions in the comments here. Do you mind if we rapid fire through just a couple?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Well, we got some good ones. So you big New Orleans Saints fan, obviously being from Mississippi. Absolutely. Okay. Well, you'll appreciate this. So one of our loyal listeners, he's a big follower of ours, Mr. Jeremiah here. He wants to know, what are your thoughts on the Sean Payton trade? And he says, bro, Sean is taking all our coaches. What do you think about the whole Sean Payton ordeal right now with the Saints?
I love Sean Payton. Love what he did for New Orleans. Him and Drew Brees, that Super Bowl team was amazing. Even what they did after the Super Bowl, you know, we had a lot of good years after that Super Bowl. We were in contention damn near every single year. Peyton and Brees was there. I mean, I think the Denver Broncos will be better for it. I think they made the right decision in hiring him. I think every team that was in the NFL that were shopping head coaches should have been trying really hard to get him, because he's just definitely a special kind of coach. Like, he definitely gets the most out of any quarterback that's going to be under him. I mean, look at the way he used Taysom Hill. Like, and you know, that's pretty special using a guy like that. And like, you know, around the league, people know Taysom Hill as like a Swiss Army knife because of how Sean Payton used him so well. So I'm a big fan of it. There's no like bad blood or anything for me. Like, you know, he retired from New Orleans and now, you know, he's wanting to coach a little bit again. He still has that TV deal for like when he's done with football, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he probably just got the itch to coach again and wants to coach again. So, you know, I love Sean Payton, big fan.
Yeah. I mean, being from Chicago, even though envious of Sean Payton with the Saints for a long time and how well he was with that team. This is from Russell Luce, if you can tell by the last name there, Justin. This is my old man. He wants to know, do you have a win goal for 2023? You know, does that record matter to you? I mean, obviously, it means the team's playing well behind you if it is, but.
Yeah, wins and losses, I'm not really focused on. I'm more focused on, like, my hard number goals is, like, 180-plus innings, 30-plus starts, 200-plus strikeouts. Those are my goals that I've set in place for myself this year.
Awesome. When I hear that, I hear all-star season with those kind of goals, too. So certainly something that we'll keep an eye on. Quickly, tavern style or deep dish pizza?
Depends on what I'm doing. If I am watching football, I want tavern style with wings and a beer. If I am eating pizza for dinner, I want the Chicago deep dish style, like as like my entree. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah,
because it's like way more filling. You know, the tavern style is like, you know, everybody's grabbing a piece, talking, chatting, you know, talking about the game. That's it's all about the setting.
So is that the spread this Sunday, tavern style pizza and wings?
Yeah, a lot of alcohol. There
you go. Hey, that resonates around here. We have the hashtag crack.
Well, speaking of it, didn't I think reason. Tony asked a question about that.
He sure did. What is your go-to beer?
Miller Lite.
Nice. Yes. Let's go. Thank you. I get so much shit here in Chicago for being a Miller Lite fan versus a Bud Light fan. Ah, I appreciate that. Justin,
my go-to drink lately is tequila, though. I've been Casamigos has really been doing it for me lately as far as tequila goes. The hangover is, you know, very minuscule if you have one. And I really like that.
Awesome.
Justin, now knowing you're a tequila fan, we're going to have to get you out in Wrigleyville after a game this summer and do some tequila. Because you can ask these two. Anytime I tell a story of a night going out, it usually involves
tequila. It starts with tequila.
It starts with tequila. And usually ends with tequila.
Wings and pizza. Post-game. There we go.
That sounds like a match made that we need to do. Just two more quick ones here for you, Justin, and we'll let you get back to Libby and Bo. But Jeremiah has another one. He goes, he knows you're a Bama fan. He's a big LSU fan. He wants to know, what are your thoughts on LSU? We'll just say LSU and Bama, really, for this upcoming season of college football.
I'm obviously diehard Bama fan. My dad played football there in 84, so I grew up not really having a choice as to who I wanted to root for. But I also lived in Baton Rouge and did my off-season training in Baton Rouge for a few off-seasons. I love Baton Rouge. One of my favorite college atmospheres, college cities to like go to a game to, tailgate at. Food's amazing, crawfish, boudin balls, you name it. Like, it's Baton Rouge, like, is one of my favorite places in the U.S. probably, and it's solely because of that college atmosphere, that, you know, environment they set every single day. As far as the teams go, I think Bama will be right back where they were this year, and they're going to be in the mix for the national championship. I think LSU is going to take another step forward next year as well. It seemed like at the end of the season last year, they really started clicking as a team. It seemed like they really started, you know, getting behind Kelly as the head coach and stuff. It seemed kind of wishy-washy there in the beginning of the season. You know, there was some stuff going around there, but it really seemed like towards the end of the season they started getting behind him and, you know, really playing for him and stuff. So I think this year they'll take another step forward. You know, they'll be in that. You know, I kind of look at that top tier of the SEC. You got Georgia, Alabama. I mean, even with the country as well, it's like Georgia, Alabama, and then the rest of the SEC is kind of just like looking to upset them any given Saturday. I think that next tier, LSU's at the top of that tier. You got Florida, who, you know, showed some flashes this past year. Tennessee showed some really good flashes this past year. That wide receiver they had, Hyatt, he was a dog. I mean, when they played Bama, like, he was unbelievable to watch. But yeah, I see Bama being right where they were last year, being in the mix of the college playoffs, and I see LSU taking another step forward this year.
Man, I think you've got a career after baseball if you want to be a college football analyst, because that's a hell of a breakdown just right off the top there like that, man. And hey, one final question here from our good friend Mike Dubs, and he mentioned that you recognize him as well. He says, have you ever had Portillo's? And if so, what is your go-to?
I have had Portillo's. The Italian beef's good. Chicago dog's good. Fries are good. Yeah, I like Portillo's. Good place to eat. You know, it's like the fast food for Chicago kind of deal. It's like, you know, go get you a dog, get you a, you know, Italian beef, a burger. You know, that's kind of how I look at it. It's like fast food Chicago style.
And do you dip your beef or do you eat it dry?
I usually get it and I dip it. Like myself, ooh. Like I want to do like a French dip. That's kind of how
say, I yeah.
Yeah.
That's I like how you can it. Control the juice on it. I like that.
Yeah. Like that's how I like to do it. I don't want them to do it. And me just get a lap full of, I don't even know what that juice, a jus or whatever that salt, yeah. That stuff is called.
A jus, yeah. No, that it is messy as hell. I feel that yeah, I've never done the dip method though. I'm gonna have to take that out of your playbook mm-hmm. and try that.
I treat it like a French dip.
That's a good idea, man. That's a good idea. Well, Justin, that's all the questions that we had for you, man. We truly appreciate you joining us. We hope you have a great weekend. As you mentioned, going to the, you know, enjoy the Waste Management Open. Enjoy obviously being out there in Arizona while the Super Bowl is taking place. And hey man, we can't wait to follow along all season and I'm sure we'll be in touch with you. We'll look forward to hearing from you a little bit throughout the year as well. So we appreciate guys, you joining us today.
It's man, always sure. my thank pleasure. You. Thank you. Always man. Love thank coming you. On here. Always love coming on here and shooting the shit with y'all. It's always my pleasure anytime.
We appreciate it, man.
Thank
we
you, Justin.
We'll definitely be hitting you up, man. Appreciate absolutely. It so
y'all
much.
Take it easy. Y'all have a good one.
You too, you man. Do. Take care. Have see a good you. One. All right, everybody. That was the
what
man.
Guy. What Justin. A freaking guy, man.
He's a legend. He's such a beaut. I mean, just so down to earth. Again, he's one of the boys. I mean, and, you know, we're gonna
have I'm to be honest, his guys. I had a thought while we were listening to him talk. For everybody that's listening, not only are we gonna be able to see him throwing bullets at Wrigley this summer, this whole season. But I've got this feeling that we're going to see him. There's this little place out west, somewhere where sometimes it's warm, where the beer flows like a fine wine, and all-star caliber players show up from all over the country, showing off their talents two nights in the middle of the year. I'm talking boys. I'm talking Ron. I'm talking Joey. At a little place called Seattle. And that's right. We're going to see Justin Steele in Seattle this summer. He's going to get his Diamond Live card from the show. He's going to get a Diamond All-Star card this year. Book it. That's not a prediction. That's not a guess. That's a spoiler. Justin Steele is going to be throwing bullets this summer, Midsummer Classic, Seattle. Book it.
I like it. I mean, hey, he was sharing his personal, you know, personal milestones he wants to hit this season. And if you could throw over 180 innings and strike out over 200 batters,
for sure.
I want to see it. I want to see it.
You're probably going to Seattle at the midway point. For sure.
Dude, he's got like we've looked at this rotation for, I don't know, the entire offseason and talked about it and all that. And I think the pretty much the consensus thought that we've had while looking at it and it has been he's got that ace potential out of pretty much anyone out of the rotation, right? Like he's the guy with that ceiling that
and
he's
saw. he's so humble, but he's got that fire. Yeah. He's got that fire too though, and we've seen it like all throughout last year and the year before. Like he's a dog, man.
He is.
Forgot to ask him if he liked Yingling, if he's had that, but that'll be next time.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm telling you what, we're gonna have to find a day. We're gonna have to find a day when Justin's able to, you know, come out after the game a little bit after the ballpark and hey, you know,
wings pizza, and some tequila.
Yeah, you know, I mean that might just have to happen. But just like Dub said here, though, man, he's one of the boys, and I think that's why he's become so beloved, right, in Chicago in such a short amount of time. Is you know, he is just you know, he's the good old Southern boy from Lucedale, Mississippi. He goes to work. He's humble. He's very you know laid back, and again, I just. The interactions that I think everybody had with him at CubsCon this year, really cements that. You know, he really does just enjoy being one of the people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he pitches for the Cubs, but like, you know, he was able to, you know, chat with us and we got to talk to him, and we were able to give him a Cubs on Tap t-shirt courtesy of Tyler coming through in the clutch for us at Cubs Con. You know, it was good, man. And what a legend. I can't wait. Hopefully maybe we'll be able to get him back on during an off day or something during the season. Oh, yeah. And just kind of catch up with him, you know what I mean, and just see, you know, how he's doing and where things are at. But we'll make sure we do it like early in the day or something. That way, he and Libby can go get a nice dinner when they're out here in Chicago, as we heard. But boys, any final thoughts, man, before we go ahead and start to wrap up for the day?
Hey, next week, I believe it's next week. Pitchers and catchers report,
February 15th.
We are almost here, guys.
I'm ready now.
I can't wait. Yeah.
After listening to Justin Steele talk about just at the beginning of the show, we didn't even waste any time getting into like the nerdy baseball, like science stuff, what he's working on, whatever. And then we got into all the fun stuff. And now I'm just thinking about having so much fun this summer, mm-hmm. going out to the ballpark with you guys,
opening
watching
day.
People, watching the Cubs just kill it this year. And that's my hope. And I'm so excited. And we're not even in mid-February yet.
No.
We're damn close, though. And as Dub shares here, he says, this is the last week without baseball for the next 9 months. We are almost there, boys. And it's going to be awesome. It really is. And again, I'm pumped to watch Justin Steele roll through. For anybody that didn't know, you know, as the boys have talked about, this is the prized Justin Steele jersey. We had to break it out for tonight's show. But speaking of, we talked a lot about CubsCon, guys. This is going to be my little plug for everybody. Hopefully everybody's sticking around. In the next 24 hours, actually almost 24 hours to the time right now that we were on this live stream, we are dropping the CubsCon video as we shouted out Brian. He is the media goat.
Brian is the man. Let's just say that. He is the man.
Everybody's got Lefevre fever over on tap. That dude puts together good work, but he took all of our crazy content that we put together from CubsCon and put together a pretty awesome montage. There's going to be more clips and things like that following, but we are premiering it. It will premiere right here if you're watching with us on YouTube at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time or Chicago time on Wednesday. It'll also broadcast on Twitter and on Facebook as a StreamYard right at 7 o'clock as well. So it will be on all three platforms for those that are looking for it. And then it'll stick and it'll be on our YouTube channel. And if you were watching along with us tonight on Twitter and you weren't able to get a question in the comments, it's because unfortunately Twitter is weird, and they were weird long before the Elon took over and got rid of comments from Twitter. So if you want to join us in the conversation, we encourage you, make sure you head over to YouTube, go to @OnTapSportsNet on YouTube and be able to subscribe. Make sure you hit that little ringer button, that little bell button, so you know when we go live, and that way you can be a part of the comments when we have great people like Justin Steele on. And we're actually in the process, especially with spring training coming up, starting to line up some guests. We probably will go to hopefully two shows a week. Obviously it'll be a rotating cast. Juice will be back. He is not gone, ladies and gentlemen. He just had some personal business to take care of this week. But you'll hear all four of us again. And for those that have been loyal to Cubs on Tap for a very long time, you will hear an old voice coming back into the fold this season as well, as our boy Nick Hudson returns. It's been a long time. Nick and I used to do all those West Coast shows together back in 2019 at like 2:30 in the morning when we were just a podcast and there weren't live streams. So there's a lot of, the old and the new of Cubs on Tap will be a part of the gang in 2023. It's going to be awesome. But again, encouraging everybody, 7 p.m. tomorrow, be sure to check out the CubsCon video. It's about 5 minutes. It's going to be awesome. I'll be in the comments, chatting along with anybody that wants to jump in and see what we did. Guys, we had a lot of fun at CubsCon. it was a really good time. It was well needed. It was definitely Friday night was get ready. We were go all day Saturday. And then we lived it up and did some team bonding on Saturday night at the old bar at the Sheraton there. So we had a good time. We made a lot of friends, you know. I mean, it was it was a bender. It was a bender of a weekend. It was a good time. But, boys, I mean, really, as we stand right now, the next big Cubs on tap get-together on the calendar is opening day. And it's going to be here before we know it. Like you guys said, pitchers and catchers next week. I am also ready for baseball. I've been literally saying it for the last like 4 or 5 days, just amongst people I talk to in general conversation.
And we do have the World Baseball Classic coming up too. So that'll be exciting. And we've got, you know, Saez playing and a lot of other superstars playing. So check that out too.
Nelly V is going to be in there, baby.
Nelly V.
Don't forget Nelly V.
Let Nelly V swim. I'm right there with you, boys. It's going to be awesome. But gentlemen, before we get out of here after this honestly awesome episode today, I want to remind everybody once again that Cubs on Tap is one of two official podcasts covering the Cubs for the On Tap Sports Network. Go ahead and check out our friends over at the Dingers Podcast. Jake was in the comments with us tonight. They are at Dinger Cubs on Twitter and on Instagram. Be sure to follow along with them. They've got the new logo out. They got some cool merch coming out as well. So be sure to support our buddies over there. And again, we're going to be doing a ton of cross collaboration with them throughout the season. And we'll probably be in the talks with them here coming up in February and March now of what that is going to look like when the season approaches. But be sure to check them out as well. All the boys over there, they do an incredible job. You can follow me at Loose on Tap, at TeddyFreddy270, at Joey Knows Nothing, even though we think he knows something, and our boy at Juice on Tap as well. Depends on the day, my friend. But and our boy at Juice on Tap, be sure to follow all of us as well. You know the drill, Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, we got it all. And Cubs fans, we all got friends that like the shitty Southsiders. But guess what? We got some boys that do a good job covering them. Send your friends over to our friends over at Sox on Tap. We've got it all right here at On Tap Sportsnet. Once again, ontapsportsnet.com, at On Tap Sportsnet on social media. Again, go subscribe to the YouTube and hit that little bell button so you know when we're always going live with all of our great shows. And once again, the On Tap Sports Network, go ahead and check out what's on tap in Chicago sports. Boys, it's always a pleasure. It's awesome getting friend of the program, Justin Steele, back on. Justin Steele now is just one of two Cubs on Tap guests to make a second appearance on the show. So he is in elite company right now amongst the prospects and players that we've had on the show. And, hopefully that continues to grow and we get more of those guys because it's awesome getting to know them. But, boys, what do you say? What do you got to hear? The only way we know how at Cubs on Tap?
I'm going to do it a little bit differently this time. Justin Steele, see you in Seattle, man.
And let's go, Cubs.
Let's go, Cubs.